coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. It is the 4th of March. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, so I hope everybody had a good weekend. I don't remember what we did this weekend. Oh, yeah, Amy was gone down to the valley to visit family down to Phoenix area. And I was here minding my own business, doing my thing. So, all right, let me, I guess I better dash over here to the chat room and see if we got anything going on in the way of sound and whatnot. Thank you, Tebow. All right, Nan just made it in. There on Mountain Shooter, A&M Glock, thank you all of you. Let's see, who all do we have in there tonight? Let me click my little magic button here. And Copper made it in there, and Crochet Mama, Desert Rat, and Detinker, of course. Duck and Goat Moog and Minnie and Nan and whoops, I missed one. Where's that? Mountain Shooter. And NM Glock and Snowman and Yakima Glock and Tebow and Anonymous. Man. Okay. Well, thank y'all for showing up tonight. Got a few things. I think to start with here, I don't know what happened to it. I must have deleted it. But anyway, there was a deal on here about propane tanks and snow. I'm not sure how much I believe it, but they say there's been some explosions and fires because of heavy snow on propane tanks. The only thing I can figure that might be an issue would be some of the exposed copper lines that may have gotten too much weight on them and broke. I find that kind of hard to believe because there'd be snow, you know, under it. I just can't see that happening. But they say that heavy snow, they say up in, where was it? In California, Northern California somewhere, Placer County somewhere. They had like 20 feet of snow. And they'd had some problems with propane tanks. Now, I can see maybe if your, regulator can't breathe or something like that, I can't see heavy snow having a problem on a tank unless it's just an exposed line. But anyway, I felt prompted to share that with you and let you know just in case anything like that comes up. So, yeah, now frozen regulators, I can see that, the Tinker, but that wouldn't have anything to do with heavy snow. That could be, as a matter of fact, the snow would probably insulate it and keep it from freezing for a while anyway. So I'm not sure what the snow thing is about. Yeah, frozen regulators, not a good thing. If your regulator is positioned in such a way that it retains a little moisture in there or something, then that could be a bad deal. So anyway, either that or get rid of your propane bottle and go do something else. All right, let's move right along here. Got a lot of gun-related things tonight. Let's start off with Kentucky. Kentucky has just passed. Wait a minute. What is this? Stand by. Never mind. Looks like Kentucky, the House has passed a permitless carry, constitutional carry, they call it. You know that I've said this many times. I don't believe that there is any such thing as constitutional carry. Well, it's not that I don't believe that there's not any. There's not any in the United States. Constitutional carry would be no restrictions at all. And every state that claims to have constitutional carry still has restrictions in some manner on their carry, whether it's carrying in
schools, restaurants, places to serve alcohol, churches, wildlife management areas, you know, whatever the case may be, there are still restrictions. Thus, it is not constitutional. But I know what they mean. Permitless carry is what they're trying to say. Constitutional is just easier to say. But Kentucky, I wish this thing would stop. Kentucky is now the, I don't even know, 16, 17 constitutional carry states, permitless carry states. But in spite of all the attacks, and this is the funny thing, talked about this here a couple of weeks ago, there is a tremendous division in this country, and one of those, you know, it's been boiling for quite a while. But one of the major things right now, I think gun owners are finally starting to wake up a little bit. They largely have been asleep or, you know, at least dozing off for a long, long time. And they've always figured that the Constitution had their back and that they would not be, that the Constitution would protect their rights and not allow some of this stuff to happen. Well, we need to have the Constitution's back. The Constitution, I hate to break this to you so heartlessly, but the Constitution is a piece of paper. It doesn't have anything. The Constitution's only protection is us. And that piece of paper sitting on a desk or hanging on the wall is not going to jump up and keep anybody from doing anything. And it may be that gun owners are finally starting to recognize that after such a vicious attack over the last few months, the last year or so. We've seen it, you know, we sat on our dead butts and let the assault weapons ban of 94 get through. And, of course, you know, the Gun Control Act of 1968 and the one of 1934, NFA. We've let all this stuff happen. I think it's finally starting to soak in. Because in spite of all of this, these attacks and all of this vicious comments and speeches and all this stuff happening all over the country, we are still passing laws with allowing permitless carry. Now, let me remind you all of something that I said some time ago. Some of you will remember this. I said it numerous times. I said that I've always been against the National Reciprocity Act, completely against it. I've never had any, not one little bit of hope for that passing or desire. Reason being, primarily, is because what the government giveth, the government can taketh away. And what we're seeing right now, you know, that would have been fine the last few years with a Republican House and Senate. You know, when I don't remember when that changed. I know this last election it changed now for to the other side. So the way it is right now, if that had passed earlier, if you think that they would not be attacking that and trying to shut it off right now, you're crazier than hell. They would, they'd be all over that like skinny on a toothpick. And so then we may lose, if that had passed, we may completely lose, may have completely lost our right to carry, period. Now, that's a poor choice of words because the right can't be taken away by man, but you understand what I'm trying to say. If every state now had regulated, modified, or abandoned their concealed carry law because of the National Reciprocity Act, And then they step in there and nix the whole thing. Do you think all those states would just jump up the next day and just reinstate everything that they took away? Now, I don't know how they would do that exactly. I don't know if they would maintain their current laws or if it would be even at all necessary with the National Reciprocity Act. But if it had passed, rest assured that it would unpass here pretty shortly. So I'm glad that that didn't go. Now, we're getting all these states now passing these permitless carry, and it's just one right after another. Matter of fact, Oklahoma is another one right now. The Oklahoma governor signed a bill for just, what, a week ago? Not even a week ago, 5 days ago. Signed a bill eliminating concealed permit requirements. So Oklahoma is now on board with the permitless carry. Let's see, Oklahoma joining us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, it looks like there's 15 states, and they didn't add Kentucky because that's brand new. So if this is correct, that's 16 states now that have permitless carry. And if you'll remember, it was only 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that Florida became the first, what do they call it, right to carry state? Right to, is that right? NM Glock, help me out. It was, that's not the wording I'm looking for. Dang it, what is it? Shall issue state, that's what I'm looking for. It was the first shall issue state, meaning that if you weren't prohibited by law in some manner of owning a gun, they could not keep you from getting your permit. If you qualified, there was no, it's not like California and so many other states where you had to prove a reason to get it. The shall issue states, of which there are now like 30-something of them, 38 maybe more than that. But we've gone from that just 25 years ago to now having, over a third of the states having permitless carry. So this is a good thing. And we also have all these sheriffs that are stating that they will not enforce these red flag laws. New Mexico has really led the charge on this in spite of their crappy governor and everything else that's going to hell in New Mexico. They've got, 33 out of 39 or something like that. You know, almost all of their sheriffs have come out and said that they absolutely will not comply with these red flag laws or enforce them. And Washington, I think, started all this, and about 20 counties, about half of their counties have joined in. Nevada now has a list of counties that are not doing this. Illinois has some. Maine or Maryland, one or the other, is another one. Why do this thing keep coming up here? There we go. So this is all a little bit confusing. It's not confusing. I guess it's enlightening. It's encouraging. Because we have all these good things happening with guns in there. The attacks are relentless right now. So this year, like I said, is going to dang sure go down in history. Copper says it's 31 out of 33 counties in New Mexico. I wasn't sure. I knew it was 30-something out of 30-something. It was most of them. So, but that's a good thing. I have no desire to move back to New Mexico now. I had really
regretted leaving there, you know, for the last, you know, few years. But, you know, after Susana Martinez, their current or their former governor did what she did, and now this joke of a governor they have now and some of the laws that they're passing and things over in New Mexico, I have absolutely zero desire. I don't even like to go over and visit anymore. I will, you know, I do because I've got family over there and stuff, but I don't have to like it. All right, let's see what else we got here. From a survival standpoint, here's a guy that was near Sun River, Oregon, lots of snow. This guy was lost in the snow for 5 days. And you know how he survived? This is going to make him want to get survival tabs or something, MREs or something. He survived off of Taco Bell sauce packets. Now, I don't know how many of them he had in his car. He was in his car. But he must have had quite a stash of them in there. 36 years old, he was a snowmobiler. And search and rescue found him. Went up on a snow tractor and brought him out of the woods. The guy says he's an avid outdoorsman, loves to go off-roading. And last seen getting gas on February 24th in Sun River. If you're an avid outdoorsman, please explain to me how or why you are up in bumper deep snow or more with nothing but Taco Bell sauce packets in your car. He told his rescuers, he and his dog become stuck in deep snow on a Forest Service road. He slept in his car. He woke up Monday and more snow had fallen. He attempted to hike out, but the snow was too deep. So they returned to the car. And he's thanking everybody and glad that they're safe and his dog's safe and blah, blah, blah. He said, let's never do that again. Put it on his Facebook page. In response to a friend's Facebook comment about how he ate 3 Taco Bell sauce packets during the ordeal, he joked that Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives. 3 packets is all he had. Now that's like, what, all 3 of them together, maybe a tablespoon? So I don't know if I would go quite so far as to headline this story saying he survived on Taco Bell sauce packets. If he had like a glove box full of them and ate, you know, 39 of them during those 5 days, that would be, maybe he did survive on it. But 3 packets? No. He got a little taste in his mouth and gave him encouragement maybe, but he didn't survive on Taco Bell sauce. So this is why that we always carry survival tabs. Every backpack, every vehicle has survival tabs in it. Now remember that you only need 12 survival tabs for an entire day. So to have a little a little snack bag full of an Alka-Seltzer bottle or, you know, a small package of some kind, or just keep the whole damn bottle in there. You never know when you may run up on somebody that needs some help or whatever. Remember, if you get stuck in heavy snow, you got 1 bottle of survival tabs. If it's a new unopened bottle, you're looking at 15 days of food there if you didn't have anything else in your car. Unfortunately, if you don't have water in there, you're going to wind up having to melt some snow or something to do it if you can. But you don't have to. You just have to be careful and eat them slow so you don't choke and get your mouth too dry from eating them too fast or whatever. But anyway.
So that just goes to show, once again, I don't know how many times we've talked about people getting lost in, we talked about that one guy several years ago that got out of his car. They found him something like 100 yards from his vehicle. And there's tracks all over the place. The guy was just wandering around, and he was 100 yards from his car. Let me make this short and sweet for you. Unless there is some type of extenuating circumstance like avalanche or rising water or something, do not leave your vehicle in those situations. They can find that car a hell of a lot easier than they can find you. They can find that car a hell of a lot easier than you're going to find anything. Unless you're, you know, extremely familiar with where, even if you're familiar with the area, when that thing covers up with snow, it gets different pretty fast. So stay in your car. There's shelter protection, and if you've got some survival tabs and just a little bit of water, you can stay there for quite a while. I mean, that's just the way it is, just the way it ought to be. Well, I think what I'm going to do is dash out of here and go take a little break. And let's see, I'm trying to find something we haven't done for a while. I should have had this ready for you, but like I said, we busy all weekend. Amy was gone, and I was working on stuff around here and working late, and we weren't as prepared as we should have been. So I'm not, and that's the same way I'm not prepared right now. So I think what I'll do is just throw this in here. How about this? Let's throw that in there just for the heck of it. And we'll be back in a little bit.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. traits that man is born with, and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They've been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper. Message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you, and some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Diane Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let's finish this up here. Move some of this stuff out of the way here so I can see what it is that I'm doing. There we go. Not sure what's going on here, but Doc has advised Nan not to eat melted plastic. So whatever's going on there, maybe I don't even want to know. But anyway, let's see what Tebow said on the serious side. This must be serious. Survival tabs, jerky, peanut butter can get you a long way. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I posted, there's a good group on Facebook that I just found. Actually, I didn't find it. I think it was Anthony Bosworth, I think, that pointed out to me. It was called
Let me find it here and see if I can share it with you. Some of you may want to join. Is AZ Bound with us still tonight? Yes, he is. AZ Bound, what's that group that I found for us here the other day? Let me find it. And I will find it. Believe you me, I'll find it. It is still not Ready Men. Ready Men, one word, Ready Men. And primarily it's about survival and preparedness and whatnot. Pretty decent group. And so there was some discussion back and forth about 72-hour kits, bug out bags, all this stuff. So I thought I'd take the opportunity just to post the thing. You guys have seen it before. I've posted it. We've talked about it before. But in this deal, and I still am just astounded at the number of people that will post what they think is required for a 72-hour kit, and one man can't even carry it. Let me remind you that 72 hours is 3 days. You can live with absolutely nothing for 3 days. You're not going to die. Now, it'd be nice to have a little water and, a few other little minor odds and ends of things, but you don't need the vast amount of stuff that these people say that you need. Now, that being said, there is a medium there somewhere, placed in the middle where you don't need quite as much stuff as what they're claiming, but it would be nice to have more than a candy bar and a bottle of water. Can you get by on a candy bar and a bottle of water? Yes, you can. So my point is, yes, you can get by on a handful of granola bars and a gallon of water for 3 days and get by pretty well. But it'd be nice to have a means of protection and a knife and some rope and, a small first aid kit. A sewing kit is vitally important when you lose buttons and zippers break and stuff. And in your sewing kit, make sure you put a half a dozen good-sized safety pins and a few smaller ones. I think that's critical to keep some of your gear running sometimes when you have cheaper stuff or old stuff or just rough use and you wind up breaking something. Those big old bobby pins can help hold you together until you can get somewhere where you can sew it up. And that hence the reason for a decent sewing kit. In your sewing kit, put a couple of larger needles and some heavy-duty nylon thread in case you have to fix a backpack or something. But, I won't go through every item. I'm just saying that it's nice to have a few, space blanket maybe, for a small tarp. I mean, there's a lot of things you can put in there depending on what your skills are, what your location is, what the temperature in the climate, the climate and the terrain and everything in your area. But to have the kind of stuff that Doc, saying it's nice to have a survival M60 tank. Yeah, well, some of these people are just under that. Got so much crap, I don't know how they carry it. So anyway, I posted my little list that I have had for, I don't know how many years now. And it went over pretty well. I think it was a hit, so that worked out okay. Let's see what else we got in the way of stories up here. University of Michigan. This is a pretty neat story. Amy didn't like this story too much on account of Amy don't like spiders too much. But I'm gonna do this. I sent it to her to do, but I don't know if she could get through it or not. Do what? Says she was reading it and didn't even want to finish and didn't even play the video. And I have to say, this is a little bit
this is a little bit much, even if you're not as scared of spiders. The University of Michigan biologists have run across this. They were out there doing something. They heard the leaves rustle a little bit. And what they found was something that nightmares are made out of, even if you are not scared of spiders. They found a giant spider, a tarantula, a large tarantula, eating a possum. Now, it was a small possum, but it was still a possum. It wasn't a baby possum. A mouse possum, she says. She must have read part of it. They said this, the possum had already been grasped by the tarantula and was still struggling weakly at that point, but after about 30 seconds, it stopped kicking. Researchers said the tarantula was the size of a dinner plate, while the young mouse possum was about the size of a softball. And they captured the whole thing on video here. So, you know, it kind of makes one, let's see, researchers also observed spiders eating frogs and lizards and a centipede eating a dead coral snake that had been decapitated. Well, that's weird. But this kind of stuff right here makes you, kind of makes you want to get up off the ground when you're sleeping. You know, that's, I guess that's why I did like New Mexico and Arizona and Utah and Colorado and a lot of the southwestern, or all the southwestern states and some of the western states for camping. Is because when I was a kid, we used to just throw a sleeping bag out on the ground on some pine needles and call it good. That was the extent of our gear, you know. We was out in the pickup. We had something to eat and had a coffee can with a coffee makings on the fire and just threw the sleeping bag out on the ground. If it was bad weather, we threw a tarp over it. That was the end of it. But if I was somewhere where they had spiders this size, I think I might be a little more reluctant to sleep on the ground. You know, I don't mind too much sleeping where there's rattlesnakes and stuff like that. They don't bother you too much. But I want you to know that if I woke up and there was a spider walking across me the size of a dinner plate, that sleeping bag would never, ever be used again. It would be a very, very bad thing. So we just won't go there. Let's see. Yeah, NM Glock's got a good point there. Having a bug out bag and all that stuff is fine, but do you know how to put all this, use all the stuff that you put in the bag? And Walmart is not necessarily the greatest place to go to load your 72-hour kit up with stuff. Although there are some useful things there, it's not the first place I would go. If you get out there and can't use some of the stuff that you have, you got it because you saw it in a magazine or were recommended by, you know, somebody on Facebook or something. You've got to know how to use this stuff for it to help you. And this is the same thing that I said. We know when I wrote my book, the thing that I stressed in there and that I stress every time I talk to someone about my book is that there are so many big, nice survival books out there that are just jam-packed with a million and one good, useful tips for doing different types of things. But it's so big and there's so much in it. People look at it and they marvel at it and they ooh and ah and it's really cool and then it goes up on the top shelf and it's never seen again. I didn't want that to happen to mine. I made it 133 pages long and pretty, you know, easy to read. Spine is spiral bound. So you can just open up and lay it down to the task that you want to do and not have to, you know, break the spine or put rocks on it to hold it down or whatever. And, you know, this is all done with a purpose. And so that's, That's the same thing with what NM Glock was talking about. You know how to use this stuff. If you get this big $69.95 survival manual and look at it and leave it at the house, what good has it done you? What's it going to do when you're out in the woods? I made mine especially so it would fit in this, you know, a side pocket of a backpack, your glove box or saddlebags or whatever, so that you'd have it with you when you needed it. That was the whole idea. And I don't know if I ever, I may have told you this, but there was a guy, I haven't heard anything from him for a long time. He was called Buckshot. Pretty popular on the internet back in the late 90s. And right about Y2K time. And he had written some books, and he was a bona fide, recognized expert in the survival field. And when I was at an expo, a survival expo in Dallas, he bought one of my books. And I don't know if he was just being nice. I was kind of flattered because this guy's got so much crap. When I got home, I'd been home about a day, and he called me. The phone number was used to be on the book. It's not anymore, but it was. And maybe I gave him a card. I think that maybe that's what it was. But anyway, he called me, and he said, you know, that was he was talking about my book, and he said that was the greatest thing I could have gotten from my wife. He says she'll actually read it. Small and easy to read, and she can keep it in her glove box. I just wanted to thank you for doing that. So I was blown away. I couldn't believe that he would have taken the time to do that. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, let's see what else we got here. Here we go. Here's an interesting little story. We have discussed holsters at great length in here more than once. We have discussed not using holsters in here every time we talked about using holsters. And here is why you don't carry without a holster. At least you don't carry one chambered without a holster. Here is a guy that had it was a high point. That tells you right there that he's not completely playing with a full deck, but no, not really. High points work sometimes. This guy has carrying, it was chambered, shoved down in his britches like he was a cool Mexican carry, they call that, appendix carry, some call it. Shoved it down in his britches, and it went off. Now, that in itself wouldn't have been too bad. It was what was in the way. We've talked about it. It's been three or four times we've talked this exact same thing has happened. So this bullet entered right above his winky. And exited this handy little bag that's down there. And so they're looking at possible criminal charges right now. I'm thinking, really? Dumb as he is, I think he's probably learned his lesson, and it may not be advantageous to anybody to push criminal charges on for this guy. But anyway, all right, what do we got? We got 10 minutes here. Well, great. You know, this is why I like doing some of this on my phone, is because when you do this on the computer, you got all these ad things that pop up. So anyhow, here's a guy that went down to the VA office. VA clinic, and he was upset when he got there, and I guess he got upsetter after he was there for a while. And you know, the VA clinic is probably the most
gun-free zone you've ever been to. They got signs everywhere, and it's not just because it's a government office. I mean, that's one reason, but because it is a VA clinic, and for your safety, everybody says. And they've got signs all over the place, don't carry a gun in. But this guy managed to get a gun in there. They don't check you at the door. You don't walk through an x-ray, a metal detector or anything. They may start after this. But the guy went in, got ticked off at his doctor, and shot. He went in there for a mental health check, if that tells you anything. And so if he went in there for a mental health check, there's a possibility that he was already prohibited from owning a gun. I don't remember the whole story, and this thing won't let me look at it without subscribing and allowing ads and signing in and buying ad removal pass and all kinds of stuff. So, he shot the doctor in the neck, and he survived. I guess it wasn't that serious. Actually, the doctor himself, after he shot him, overpowered him, wrestled him down, and disarmed him. So I guess evidently it was just a nick, but anyway. So just a little quick story there to let you know how very well that no gun zones work. Gun-free zones is what I'm trying to say. So let's see here. Let me put this in here like this. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that'll get me a good start there. Now, last thing. I'm not sure. I told you Friday that I was planning on doing, narrowing down to just two shows, Monday and Friday. I thought about this and agonized over it all weekend. And I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen here yet. What I do know is that DeTinker and I have been paying for this for 4 years. Once in a great while, we'll get a donation in from somebody. There's a thing at the top of the chat room over on the right. You know, $2, $5. You don't have to donate $100. But I'm growing a little bit weary of footing the entire bill for the my website. Of course, my website's none of your concern. That's not. I shouldn't have even said that. But the podcast and the servers, and computer upkeep and everything else that goes along with this show. And I thought about this and thought about it and thought about it over the weekend, and I'm just growing weary of footing the entire bill for all of this stuff. And I know DeTinker, I asked him how many donations he's gotten over the last 4 years, and it was very, very few. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do. I've thought about just nixing the whole live show completely and just doing a podcast and then charging, 99 cents for the podcast or something like that. I don't know exactly. I'm trying desperately to figure this out, but I will have it figured out here in the next. I told you we'd have it figured out by the 1st of April. And one way or another, on the 1st of April, something's going to change. So just, I did two things when I started this. One, I said I would never quit. Well, if I just do podcast, I guess that's not quitting. But part of that was with the understanding that there would be some help with some of this stuff. We had purposely, because of our political incorrectness and the ability to use music without paying royalties on it, we have no advertisers. As long as we're not getting paid for anything, and then we can use this music without fear of violating any, trademark or whatever the hell they call it, copyright. And So we've been ad-free from the very beginning with Survival Circle. And so there you have it. We'll make up our mind here by the before the end of this month. And by before this end of this month may mean by Wednesday. But sometime before the 1st of April, there will be quite a change here. So just letting you know so you can be prepared for whatever it may be. So with all that being said, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door over here. If I can find all the stuff, there it is right there. Let's use this one tonight. And I'll be back Wednesday. And as it stands right now, it looks like there's nothing in the way of us. No, wait. Stand by. Let me look and see what the date is. Friday is the 8th. Yes, I'm sorry. There will not be a Liberty Lounge this week. I have a security gig I've got to go take care of. So if I have time, I'll pre-record one for you. If not, we'll have DeTinker. DeTinker is actually the nuts and bolts of this whole deal. He's what keeps this machine rolling. And I am extremely appreciative of everything that DeTinker does. So, but I will not be here Friday night, so I'll see you Wednesday, and we'll see where we go from there. And find the right button here, and good night. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.